Good morning, Radha Kala Chanjidam. Good morning to all the assembled devotees in Dallas Dham. It is always a pleasure to have devotees in front of the deities. That is a lot of mercy. And as is understood, those that are not able to are either on the phone or on the internet. So it's always a special honor to be able to come forward and to share some of the nectar. So we're continuing with Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 31st, Text 8. And before we do that, we always like to get the mercy in remembering and imbibing Krishna's love for Jayarat, for Radha. Jai Shri Radha Madhava.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. 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 Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. 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 Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjan. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamunatira Vanacha. Yamunatira Vanachari. Natira Vanacha. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjan. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha. Radha Kala Chanji, Radha Kala Chanji Radhe. Jai Radha Kala Chanji, Radha Kala Chanji Radhe. Jai Radha Kala Chanji, Radha Kala Chanji Radhe. Radha Kala Chanji, Radha Kala Chanji Radhe. Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jagannath, Jagannath. Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath. Jagannath, Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Nitai Goro Haribol, 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 Nitai Goro Haribol, Nitai Goro Haribol, 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 Nitai Goro Haribol. Jai Shri Shri Radha Kala Chanji Ki Jai. Jai Shri 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 Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
So the last chapter in Canto 11, text 31, is about the disappearance of the Lord. And before we read the text, we always like to get additional mercy.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Gnana Tamarandasya Gananjanam Chalakaya Chakshonilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha.
So we're going to read text 8 and you can repeat afterwards. It doesn't have a purport, so we'll go to text 9. And there wasn't enough space to put both of them on the board, so for those that are so inclined, you can read or repeat after I read text 8.
Devadaya Brahma Mukya Navishantam Swadamani Abhyanti Gatim Krishna Dadrishas Chati Vishmita. Devadya Brahma Mukya Navishantam Swadamani Abhyata Gatim Krishna Dadrishas Chati Vishmita. Devadyo Brahma Mukya Navishantam Swadamani Abhyanata Gatim Krishna Dadrishas Chati Vishmita.
Anyone like to repeat that?
Devadaya Brahma Mukya Navishantam Swadamani Avignyantatagatim Krishnam. Dadrushaschati Vishmita.
Oh, it's been smeared off. That's a D. Sorry, I didn't notice that. Oh. Okay. Krishna's making a statement here. Srila Prabhupada? Okay. Devadama Brahmav Mukhya. Navisham Tan Swadamani. Avignata Gatim Krishnam. Dadrishas Chakti Vishmitam. Devadaya Brahma Mukhya. Navishantam Swadamani. Avignata Gatim Krishna. Dadrishas Chakti Vishmitam. So we'll go word for word. Deva Adaya. The demigods and others. Brahma Mukhya. Headed by Brahma. Na. Not. Vishantam. Entering. Swadamani. His own abode. Avyata. Unknown. Gatim. His movements. Krishna. Lord Krishna. Dadrusha. They saw. Cha. And. Oh, that's. Ata Vishmita. Very amazed. Thank you. Now, the translation here is. Most of the demigods and other higher beings led by Brahma could not see Lord Krishna as he was entering his own abode, since he did not reveal his movements, but some of them did catch sight of him, and they were extremely amazed. Again. Most of the demigods and other higher beings led by Brahma could not see Lord Krishna as he was entering his own abode. Since he did not reveal his movements, but some of them did catch sight of him, and they were extremely amazed. Going on to text 9. Sadomanya kata kashe yanta hidva brahmandalam gatirna lakshate matiyes tata krishna shadavate. Sadomanya kata kashe yanta hidva brahmandalam gatirna lakshate matriyes tate krishna shadavate. Sado manya yata kashe yantya hidva brahmandalam katirna lakshate matiyes tata krishna sha devati. Sado manya, of lightning, yata, just as, akashe, in the sky, yantya, which is traveling. Hitva, having left. Abramandalam, the clouds. Gati, the movement. Nalakshate, cannot be ascertained. Martyai, by mortals. Tata, similarly, Krishnasya, of Lord Krishna, Devata, by the demigods. Just as ordinary men cannot ascertain the path of a lightning bolt as it leaves a cloud, the demigods could not trace out the movements of Lord Krishna as he returned to his abode. Just as ordinary men cannot ascertain the path of a lightning bolt as it leaves a cloud, the demigods could not trace out the movements of Lord Krishna as he returned to his abode. The purport here is the sudden movements of a lightning bolt are seen by the demigods, but not by human beings. Similarly, the sudden departure of Lord Krishna could be understood by the Lord's intimate associates in the spiritual sky, but not by the demigods. The sudden movements of a lightning bolt are seen by the demigods, but not by human beings. Similarly, the sudden departure of Lord Krishna could be understood by the Lord's intimate associates in the spiritual sky, but not by the demigods. Now, that last point struck me as interesting, but I'm not going to go into it until the very end of the discussion. It may possibly make some uncomfortable, but then if I'm trying to follow in the footsteps of my guru and with him following the footsteps of his guru, he was always truthful, even if sometimes it was uncomfortable. So, as usual, I'm always asking the mercy of Sri Guru, of Srila Prabhupada, of our Guru Parampara, of course, of Radha Kala Chanji, to at least say something today that has an impact on someone's life. Now, at this point, Krishna is preparing, or has already prepared, to leave the material world. And his audience are the associates that came with him to the material world to enact his pastimes. And the demigods. Now, in this particular section of Krishna leaving, just briefly, it reminds me of a parent getting ready to leave the child, but you don't want to hurt the child's feelings. So you want to make sure that you leave in such a way that the child does not know you're leaving. And of course, the child always knows when mommy or dad is leaving. You cannot hide that from them. But the point that Krishna demonstrates here is a point that we should also be demonstrating at the time of departure from the material world. Krishna withdraws within himself and he meditates internally and he prepares and he does leave. And this is interesting because some powerful yogis think, I don't know, maybe for dramatic purposes or potency, that in order to leave the material world, sometimes it's necessary to burst into flames or to walk into fire. Not necessary. The Lord has given us a very simple process of leaving the material world. Very simple. And we're always hearing how important it is to chant the holy name, to chant our mantras sincerely, to always, as much as possible, be focused on the holy name, which is the same as the Lord. And at some point in time in our spiritual life, if we are consistent and sincere and curious, we will understand why it is so important to always focus on the holy name or the Lord. Because whatever you are focusing on, wherever you're focusing on, at your time of departure, is what you will attain. And some of us have had the experience of being with the loved one or, you know, a devotee in some instances. And they have a sudden illness and they're in the process of leaving their bodies. But as dedicated as they were to the holy name, sometimes even at that point, it's difficult to focus because the body is going through so many different changes. And I would imagine the goal of most sincere devotees or devotees in general would be that as you're getting ready to leave your body, that you are definitely in the association of devotees, that you are surrounded by them, that you are hearing the holy name. Well, as I was saying initially, the Lord is surrounded by his close associates, the demigods. And all of them are imagining, well, the Lord's going to come with me, or he's going with me to my planet. So Krishna is very merciful, and we can take so many hints from the scriptures, so many lessons from the scriptures, that he closes his eyes and he proceeds to enter his abode. Some of the demigods are not able to exactly see him enter his abode. But the associates in the spiritual sky are able to do so. And it's not that they don't see him at all. They catch a glimpse of his body movements. Some of the demigods catch a glimpse of his movements, but they don't exactly see him enter into the spiritual world. They don't get a chance to catch the sight of it. And I would also say that was due to Krishna's mercy, because at that point, I would be thinking about separation anxieties. I'm thinking separation anxieties right now, even though I am not a perfect devotee. I do not know all the necessary shlokas, not read all the scriptures, but I have been around devotees and associates of gurus and of gurus to know a little bit about the Lord. And I try to consistently, as much as possible, and it's difficult sometimes depending on what's going on, as much as possible to stay in touch with the Lord, either in thought, either chanting or in reading. And I like the part where Maharaj yesterday was saying, and we've heard it many, many times, but it's like, how many times do you have to hear this before you get it? He was saying how much the success of ISKCON depended on the devotees reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And even Srila Prabhupada mentioned, of course he's going to be leaving the material world, but he did not leave us helpless. He left his books. And even if you take to reading one line of his book a day, that's potent, because the desire will build up to the point where you're reading two lines a day, three lines a day, You're constantly staying attached. None of us, as far as people that I've come across, are that strong that they can go out into the material world and forget Krishna and be okay with it. Because sometimes the minute we walk out of the temple surroundings or the association of devotees, you can feel the energy. It's extreme. It's very, very different. And you wonder, what does it take exactly for a devotee to keep his mind on Krishna, to chant, to read? Does it take a traumatic event? Do you have to lose something of your own, your health? I was going to say your mind, but if you lose it, you don't really know you've lost it sometimes. But do you lose a family member, a loved one? What does it take to bring us to our knees to surrender fully and to trust Krishna? Because even though Krishna departed from the material world physically, Krishna is in our hearts. He is Paramatma in everyone's heart. And like the bird, what is it, the example? Two birds sitting in the tree, one having activities and the other one observing. Krishna is in our hearts. And no matter where we are, on what planet, on what continent, we are in contact with Krishna in a way that he will be able to connect with us, whether we're from Germany, from Russia, from Japan, from India. Krishna always knows how to contact his own child. Now, he may speak a little bit differently, but it's according to what his child can understand. But the point is, sometimes we have to be very still to hear the Lord. We're so busy sometimes. Work, family, luxuries, other responsibilities, to the point that we make that our religion or our worship. But if you intelligently think about it, none of these things will save you. None of them. Absolutely, positively, none of them. And the one thing that is important for us to do is to come in a humble position of surrender to Krishna, to also understand that all the things that we have been given by the mercy, all these boons that we've been given, they're really not ours to enjoy. Krishna is the enjoyer. When we find ourselves enjoying, we're going to run up against a brick wall, because we will never, ever be able to enjoy enough. We'll never be able to get enough. And I always think about the action-packed places in the United States. Forgive me. Yes, I read the news. It's important to stay up to date. And at least once a week, maybe twice, I'll check to see where I can travel and go in the state and in the world. But it's important to be abreast of what's going on. But what I've discovered is that no matter what a millionaire has or a billionaire has, they're never really happy, because they're at a point where either they have to watch out to monitor what they have to make sure that no one gets it. There's always that concern. There's always the concern of someone taking what we have. There's also that concern that this is not quite enough, so I need to make more. So we're never, ever really satisfied. When we understand that what we are given is to be enjoyed by Krishna, because if Krishna is enjoying, we are ultimately enjoying. When we are surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in service, whether we're washing pots, whether we're cutting up vegetables, whether we're cooking, all of those things are extremely important. But when you do it in a mood of love, it's important to do it in a mood of love. Then you really begin to enjoy it because, well, let's see if I should throw that word enjoy. You really begin to appreciate it because you're doing it for someone you love, and we're supposedly doing it for Krishna. But then again, remember, Krishna doesn't need anything from us. We just simply have to understand the principle that everything that we have, everything, all these nice things that we work so hard for, that we work 20, I guess they don't work 20 years anymore. I really feel for the new generation that's out here. I don't know what they call them anymore, but they don't work the 30 years, the 20 years that we used to work. They work a couple of years and then they go on to the next position. It would be very nice for us to understand that Krishna will maintain us no matter what. The line, chant and be happy, sounds so simplistic. But when you do it, when you just surrender to it and just do it, Krishna will facilitate your needs, your wants, your desires, whatever it is you need. Maybe not exactly at the time you think you're supposed to have it, but at the time that Krishna wants you to have it. Again, I have to stay on track. Again, Krishna is giving us an opportunity here in text 8 and 9 to watch, to see, to notice, to take the skill of departing from this material world. What interested me, and I wanted to really save this until the last, well, let's stay on track right now until I get to that. But the point that I wanted to make is that no matter where we are in the world right now, no matter what we have, where we are is where we're supposed to be right now, based on us doing as much as we can, doing the best and leaving it to Krishna. When you do that, everything else will be taken care of. And I had this really brief experience. If we're still sometimes, we'll notice things. But last week, I took my car in for a vehicle inspection they have to have here. So for some reason, there was a problem with the taillight. And either the guy put it in backwards so he couldn't close it, and I was going back and forth to the guy that was putting the taillight in so that they could pass it for vehicle inspection. And I'm thinking, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Why isn't this happening right? So I think this happened maybe 3 or 4 times. Getting frustrated, the place is about to close. And then while the guy is checking the vehicle, then the car starts to smoke. Well, we can't control everything, but I had said to the guy originally, you know, I'm doing everything I can. And sometimes, well, all the time, we have to leave the rest up to Krishna. Had I not gone back and forth and gone through all those various challenges, I probably would have been on the expressway somewhere. The car would have ran hot. I would have been out there stranded. But even in that simple moment, I understood that Krishna was in control. And sometimes that's the most difficult thing that we can actually allow ourselves to do, is to give Krishna complete control. The point I wanted to make in text 9 is the mention of the demigods. And when you think of demigods, most people think how extremely powerful they are, and they are. They're extensions of the Lord. we are extensions also, but not to that extent. But they are extensions of the Lord. But as powerful as they are, they themselves could not catch sight of the Lord entering his abode. And the point I'm making is, that's the one where sometimes people may be a little bit uncomfortable with this, and it's a little off track of the subject, but sometimes there are those of us that feel that there is so much potency in demigod worship. And here, in text 8 and 9, it reveals to you, even though the demigods are who they are, they're powerful enough to see the movements of the lightning bolts, but they are not powerful enough to actually see the Lord enter into his abode. The point that I'm making is, Krishna is absolute. Krishna is powerful. Krishna gives boons to the demigods, which mean that instead of taking a side trip to get to the Lord, how important it is to directly have association of the Lord's disciples, devotees, how important it is to gravitate for the association and the knowledge eventually, but the knowledge of the Lord as opposed to worshiping demigods. Now I can hear people catching their breath, but it is actually true. But the point here is the Lord is leaving the material world. His associates in the spiritual sky are totally aware of his movements. He has given us a lesson, if you will, of how to leave our bodies in this material world. He's focusing internally. We should be doing the same also, if and prayerfully we will be alert enough to do that at the time of departure. It indicates mainly how important it is to chant, to read, to chant the holy name. Yes, to read Srila Prabhupada's books and scriptures, and to, above all else, have proper association of devotees, sadhu sangha. It is very important, no matter how many times we've heard it, no matter how many times we've heard people say it. It is extremely important, very important. So I'm going to end at this point, but I always like to go back over and emphasize the translation. Again, text 8 translation, at the point where the Lord is leaving, most of the demigods and other higher beings led by Brahma could not see Lord Krishna as he was entering his own abode, since he did not reveal his movements. But some of them did catch sight of him, and they were extremely amazed. Just as, and this is text 9, just as ordinary men cannot ascertain the path of a lightning bolt as it leaves a cloud, the demigods could not trace out the movements of the Lord Krishna as he returned to his abode. Purport: the sudden movements of a lightning bolt are seen by the demigods, but not by human beings. Similarly, the sudden departure of Lord Krishna could be understood by the Lord's intimate associates in the spiritual sky, but not by the demigods. And on a note of upbeat positivity, the Lord will reveal himself to his sincere devotee over time. So it is not that we have to pray for the appearance of the Lord or his association. It will come gradually. So we'll end at this point. Any comments, questions? Yes, you have. So you already asked about that one. So what's your new question? I would imagine that wherever possible, there are institutions around the world that assist those that have mental challenges. Right? We already covered that one. Mm-hmm. So we covered that one. Did you have another question? What about it? What's the question? Pardon? Well, you know the Maha Mantra, right? So it's as easy as chanting the Maha Mantra. Just Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We have been given that mantra in this age to go back to the spiritual world, to go back to Godhead. Very simple. Very simple, very uncomplicated, and with Krishna in the spiritual world. No disease, no bliss. Yes, bliss, happiness, health. So that's why it's important to start somewhere and just keep chanting. And at some point, even when whatever the conditions, and then there's going to be a point where you come in here one day and you tell us that it's actually working for you. And you won't even be asking me. I may be asking you, well, how is the Maha Mantra helping you? And you'll be able to tell me. And you won't even think about blaming anyone else for your condition or any of us. We shouldn't blame anyone for our conditions, because whatever is going on with us, wherever we are right now, is because of previous lifetimes. Is Krishna merciful? Yes, because some of us cannot handle what we did in previous lifetimes. So remember that and chant Hare Krishna. So we'll end at this point. If there are no other questions. Any questions, Prabhu? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda.